Shifcha on the parsha for Parshas Emor. Emor el ha-Kohanim. It's the parsha of Kohanim. Some Kohanim like this parsha, some Kohanim don't like this parsha, because it also incriminates some Kohanim that they can't be part of the Avodah. So it depends who you are. We'll get to that in 1 second, because we'll quote from the Me'ah Shiloah. The Me'ah Shiloah says it's kind of strange the way that he wrote his sefer. He has commentaries on multiple years, but they published the svarim as multiple svarim, so they're not all together. So even though there's Emor in both of these books, they're not, whatever, they're from the same person. Yeah, I brought one of these and not the other. Now I brought both to make sure, but I happen to be quoting for both. So says the Meshulah from Mordechai Yosef Liner. The Medrash tells us an interesting mashal. The Medrash Tanchuma. Now it happens to be, I think the Medrash means something else, but the Meshulah is going to take it in his own way. Mashal lemelech. We know who that is, right? Every time there's an analogy and a parable and there's a king in it, we know who the king is, right? That's always going to be clear. But it always helps to put it into person term so we can relate to it. That there's a king, she'amar l'tevach shelo, or l'tabach shelo, to his cook, I guess. V'vakasha mimcha shelo tira es hames, koyamecha, shelo titame platrin sheli. Please don't look at any dead bodies. I don't want you ruining, my house. So what exactly is going on here? Ki tevachu ha'ish hamemuna. This is the Me'ah Shiloah explanation of it. Why is it that the tevach, the cook, can't look at dead bodies? This is obviously referring to a medrash which is commenting on why Kohanim can't become tame or contaminated by a dead body. Ki tevachu ha'ish hamemuna al hachanas simcha lamelach. Says in Me'ah Shiloah, the cook is responsible for making the king happy. That's the cook's job. His job is to make the king happy through the food, obviously. He's here, Oso HaMelech. Because of this, through this, the king says to him, because your job is to bring me more joy, make sure that you're not going to cause any sadness. Because when you see a dead body, you're going to be sad. And when you're sad, you're going to make my food sad. I don't know if that's a spiritual reference or it's a literal thing, that there's a decrease in joy when it comes to what the cook will be doing in the kitchen after seeing a dead body. This is what it means, emor ha-kohanim. Say the kohanim, she-yir-u shelo yigrimu ha-hefech me'ach she-nivcharu la-horid ha-shifos ha-shpaos simcha. The Kohanim's job is to create positive, what we would say in modern nomenclature, positive vibes. You heard that phrase, positive vibes? This is for joy, it's for good things. The Kohen is supposed to be creating good atmosphere for Hashem and for the Beis HaMikdash, and their association with death will inhibit that ability. Will inhibit their chance to create those positive environments, those positive associations. So there's what to be learned from that. Obviously, it's a little extreme for the way that we live because we don't really know about the Mishnah, we don't know about Kohanim really, so it sounds a little foreign to us. But I think in some ways we can understand that the procurement of our environment is going to affect how well we can affect things, the way we want to affect them. You know, I've quoted different studies along these lines in my Monday night class. But Daniel Kahneman is very big on these in his book, Thinking Fast and Slow. The things that we have in our environment will affect our mood. You know, he talks about different pictures that you might see or different words you might hear that will anchor your mood based on just osmosis, just through the fact that you've been exposed to those things. It affects how you do what you're going to do afterwards. There's this one study which is somewhat controversial about, I think I quoted it my first year here, the study about people who read different sentences, some being associated with old people and some being associated with young people, and then they had them go do something in a different room, but in the meantime, there was a hallway to get to the other room. And the people that read the words that were associated with older people walked much slower to the other room than the people who didn't have those same words. It's a controversial study because it could be because of other things, whatever. But the point is that the environment that we have for us affects our not just abilities, but our approach to the things afterwards. So here also, Hashem is saying to the Kohanim that you're supposed to have a certain approach, you're supposed to have a certain responsibility towards the environment of the Beis HaMikdash, specifically in terms of your responsibility to Hashem, and to associate with death is going to negatively affect that your ability or your approach to do so properly afterwards. In a similar sense, the Me'ah Shiloach tells us that when it comes to someone who has a mum, who's blemished, who therefore cannot work in the Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk says, Lechem elokav mikatshei akadashim u'min akadashim yochal, ach el aparochas lo yavo v'yal mizbeach lo yigash. You can still eat from kachim if you have a mum, but you can't come to the Beis HaMikdash. You cannot do the avodah because you're a baal mum. So says the Me'ah Shiloach, ze ne'amar neged hatar omes sheyesh b'leiv habali mumin. This is coming to refute what Kohanim with those blemishes might think. This is very un-American. This is one of those parshios that does not sit well with American Jews. What do you mean? The Kohen can't do his job? He can't be a Kohen because he's a lefty? That's not fair. Because he has a little thing on his lip? That's not fair. Yeah, exactly. Where's the wheelchair ramp going into the Mizbeach? It happens to be. It's a one big ramp. But the point is that that's not fair. So says the Me'ah Shiloach. Lama nisrachku mi'avoda. The children, the descendants of Aaron HaKohen might say, why shouldn't we be able to work in the Beis HaMikdash? Ki kol hapsulim v'hatameyim asher zeh chisaron hu mitzad adam him yatzdiku aleihem adin. It's not the case. It's not the case that you have this blemish and therefore you can't work in the Beis HaMikdash. But it's Hashem knows something about you that this the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash is not something good for you. And therefore, he gave you that blemish. It's a little bit different way of saying it. It's also probably not going to sit well with people, because isn't that mean of Hashem to do such a thing? But if you think about it in the sense that Hashem knows us and he knows what's best for us, so he knows that sometimes certain positions aren't good for us. And I'm sure people have taken responsibilities upon themselves and they start doing it and they're like, wait a second, this is not going to be good for me. Maybe they're working a certain office in their company and they're saying, I don't think I'm going to work well with this person or on this job or this career path. I'm going to have to go choose something else to make myself happy. So Hashem says, I'll spare you the turmoil. I will spare you what clearly doesn't fit with your personality or whatever it might be. What you have to do, your avoda is not the avoda in Beis HaMikdash. You happen to be a Kohen, but the way that I'm going to make sure you do the avoda that you have to do is to give you this blemish. You could think, go ask, the famous Gemara where the person was ugly, and one of the Amoraim said to him, how could you be so ugly? He said, go talk to the person that made me, meaning go speak to Hashem about that. How could you call me that type of thing? So he's using the same phrase to say, how could you make me like this, Hashem? V'alzeh ne'amar, lechem elokav mikatshei akadashim u'min akadashim yochal. Meaning, it is the bread of Hashem that you shall eat. What does that mean? Hainu shebepnimius shelcha lo techzar davar. In the internal mechanism of who you are, your essence is not going to be lacking at all. Your avoda in this world is not the avoda for the Mikdash. And you shouldn't think that therefore you're missing something. You shouldn't think that therefore that you are lacking something in your essence. Your essence is still complete. That's lechem elokav. You're going to be sustained from Hashem nonetheless. Ach me Hashem kol mishpat zera Aaron kama bali mumen yimtu bahem v'yimalav Allah ritzoni yisparach l'archichu mi'avoda. And if Hashem knows who you are and knows that you're not supposed to be a person dealing with the avoda, lo yitraim klum. That's not that you shouldn't be complaining about that. Ki b'zeh nishlam ritzono yisparach. It's through your blemish that you will be complete, right? It's such a different way to look at blemishes, and easier said than felt. But the point is that sometimes we look at the shortcomings of our lives, We look at the things that we can't do, the positions that we're put in, and we say, oh, woe is me that I'm given this lot. Woe is me, how could Hashem do this to me? And easier said than done in certain circumstances, obviously. But the point is that Hashem has put you in that spot because that's your avoda. That's your avoda for that spot. I was talking to someone recently. There's a difficult family situation, not in our shul. And they wanted to talk things out. And they said that this is a very hard concept for them. They understand it intellectually, but it's emotionally difficult to accept. That Hashem wants me to do this, and therefore I should suffer by doing that. Not easy. For sure, I'm not saying that it's an easy thing to grasp. But the point is that we have to understand that we have an avoda from when we're born. Right? This takes a lot of emuna. Again, to beat a dead horse here, but it takes a lot of emuna in Hashem to think like this. That we are all destined for a certain avoda. And Hashem will navigate our lives towards that avoda so that we can do it. Sometimes that takes more detrimental paths than others. So for instance, for me, people might look at me and say, oh, you're a Rav, you've got it made in the shade, and Baruch Hashem, I have a lot of bracha. I have a lot of bracha, and I try to think about that every time I say modim. But I am, in this week's parsha, called a derogatory term. People don't think of it like that. But I am a halal. The word halal means desecrated. I am desecrated. That's not a nice term. It's not a nice nickname. It's not something I should really parade around, but I take it sort of like as a badge of pride because of the Mesorah that I have. It's just the Mesorah is an unbelievable thing. As one of my friends from Yeshiva used to call me, I am a walking Chefta of Lumbus. If you don't appreciate that, then I'm not going to explain it, but it's the Yeshivish terms for being a very complicated concept. The Chalal, can you do this, can you do that, etc. But I'm a Chalal. So that means I can't do the Avodah either. I'm in this camp. That I should be able to do the Avodah. I have the genetic code, presumably, of a Kohen, but I'm not allowed to step foot in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I'm not allowed to do anything on this Mizbeach. That's not fair. I'm a Chalal. I'm desecrated. At the same time, my avoda is to be a Rav. My avoda is maybe to give a hesped at a graveside funeral. Maybe that's my avoda. So I can't tell you that it is or it isn't. But the point is that we have things in our lives that point us in this direction, that direction, and it, the way that we approach that is going to be very different whether we think about it from an emuna perspective of it being our shlemus, that is our completion, or we see it as a deficiency. So here too, that's what the Me'ashalach is saying. Through not doing the Avodah, you are doing what Hashem wants you to do. This is the toilet story. You know the toilet story. You don't remember the toilet story? I told it. I told this over the beginning of COVID. And the story goes, you'll probably remember it as I say it, Rav Noam Elimelech, or Rav Elimelech of Lezhansk, and his half-brother, Rav Zusha, were once imprisoned. Ring any bells? They get to the prison cell, and all of a sudden Rav Zusha gets very upset. No, sorry, Rav Elimelech is very upset, because there's a toilet right in the middle of the room. So he starts crying. So Rav Zusha says, why are you crying? He says, I figured I'm going to prison. It's terrible, but at least I'd have you. We'd learn together. We'll daven together. We'll at least have each other to inspire. But now there's a toilet room. We can't even do that. So Rav Zusha says to him, remember this story, right? It's a very important story. Rav Zusha says to him, just like Hashem tells us to daven and to learn when there's no toilet, He tells us to not daven and to not learn when there is a toilet. I happen to not like the end of the story, which is that they started dancing because they were so glad that they can mekayim this mitzvah of Hashem to not daven and to not learn when there's a toilet, that they made so much commotion, the guards said, what's going on here? And they moved him into a cell with no toilet. But we don't need the end of the story. That's not the point. The point is that you can mekayim a mitzvah of Hashem by not doing what we call the mitzvah of Hashem. Even though we look at things as tangible, this is a good thing, that's a bad thing. Sometimes not doing a good thing is what Hashem wants you to do. And the same thing here. The Kohen is responsible to doing Avodah when he can do Avodah. And when he can't do Avodah, then he's responsible to not do Avodah. That's his mitzvah. And that's his shlemus. To read again the beautiful verbiage of the Me'ashiloach. Im Allah Allah Ritzono Yisparach Leharchiko Me'avodah. If Hashem thought to distance a person from that Avodah, meaning in the Beit HaMikdash, Lo yitra'im klum. You should not complain at all. Ki bezeh nishlam ritzono yisbara. Because through not doing the avoda, you will fulfill what Hashem wants from you. Again, difficult, easier said than done. Easily abuse if you want to abuse it. True, true, true. Yes, and yes, be intellectually honest. This one, yeah, for sure. Yeah, Lee.
And I think the last line in that section was, oh, well, I have a Torah, but I have like a record here. So if you go someplace where it's not a matter of record, then nobody else needs to know.
Well, that would be intellectually dishonest.
But it's, okay.
And so, other.
Well, if someone doesn't know, they don't have an obligation to check. If someone's not sure, but if there's not something.
I don't know what you're referring to. You're referring to if other people don't know, so then don't ask, don't tell?
Well, the mantra.
So this is not a mamzer status, by the way. The Kohen Ma'achal is a different thing.
Yeah. Mamzer was born to this status.
Right, right, right.
No
recourse.
It's not a matter of record, so then by extension, if somebody had like this qualified Kohen status, if nobody else knew, you just don't say anything, then shouldn't that be good enough?
No, because there is a reality. There's honesty. There's integrity. There's truth. We're about truth. I was once davening in a minyan in Baltimore that they didn't know me from a hole in the wall, even though they should have, whatever. But the guy comes to me before landing and says, what's your name? And I give him my name. And then he goes to call me up for Cohen. And I only realized because he had just asked me my name and then went right to the bima. So like I just realized and I sort of chased after him and I told him, no, don't call me up because I'm not a Cohen. But he had known my last name, and he just assumed I was a Kohen. So could I have gone up? No, because that's dishonest. And it's lying.
And it's awesome. Having somebody enter the blockhouse today, and they didn't look like they had that triple filter rationalized blood, and if you tested it, they might not have been Kohen.
Okay. We have a chazaka. We have chazaka. People have... Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Sure. For sure.
All
right. At a hospital, yeah. Right. Yeah, sure. It helps the shul. It gives me more work, but it helps the shul, yeah. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
You mean black people should stay incarcerated and...
Or whatever that.
No, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, because you also have like a caste system in India, and it's like, well, you're meant to be that way, so you be that way, and don't touch these tumblers that other people can use.
No, but there's certain...
Well, that's a different thing. There are certain positions that you can change and certain things you can't change. The things that you can change for the better, you should change for the better. Yeah. But there are some positions that you just have to say, this is what my role is, and that's that. Marsha asked here, what about Kibud HaTorah when you are called up accidentally? If I'm called up accidentally, so I believe the halacha is that I step to the side until I can get an aliyah, and then you call up the Kohen, and then you give me an aliyah afterwards, I think. Not 100%. I think that would be the halacha. There is an interesting machlokas about bidyevit. If I would bring a karbon, would it work? Or would someone have to do it instead of me afterwards? That's a machlokas. The implication from the Gemara is that if I already knew that I wasn't a Kohen and I did it anyway, so then it doesn't work, someone else to bring it. But if I didn't know, and then we find out afterwards, so then it works. But there's a implication from the Rambam that says I could even rebelliously go up there knowingly and it would still work. It's probably a minority opinion. Even a minority interpretation of the Rambam, who's the only one that even leaves that door open. But yeah, it's an interesting thing. I'm trying to...
Most of the person don't discuss the whole issue.
yeah, it doesn't really come up. Yeah, it doesn't really come up. Someone once told me that there's a chumrah that I should step out if there are no kohanim for duchening. I should step out because technically I'm Mizera Aharon, which is the introduction to the sukkim, so therefore I should step out because maybe I would be obligated to duchen. I don't know. But lastly, I'm trying to figure out which one of these I should say. The pasuk tells us, and we know this one, unfortunately, for the wrong reasons. Pasuk says, you should not desecrate my name. Same word. You should not desecrate my name. Meaning, don't do what my great-great-great-grandfather did. Right? This is not talking about Kohanim exclusively, but it's the same word. You should not, this is what we call a Chilul Hashem. So it's quoted from the Sfas Emes, Sheyesh b'chol ish Yisrael nitzutz mishmel shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the principle of Yid. Everyone has a little bit of Hashem inside of him. Shezeu shoresh nishmas Yisrael u'ba'az har rabba shelo yechalo hanitzutz ha-kadosh ha-kadosh bo. We all have to do our best to protect that godliness. We all have that little spark that we have to cultivate and we have to develop. V'im osin masa chulin u'mizalzo be'osonitzutz. If you do something which is what he calls chulin, I don't know how to translate that, less or more incriminatingly. Chulin technically means just secular or non-holy, profane, mundane, or you could say that it comes from like real bad, you know, like halal is connected, that it's a real bad thing. So then you are mizalzel, you are decreasing the value, or you are disgracing that spark of Hashem. Uchshadim zocho margish lama nivra, if you understand why you were created, le'ezo inyan kvod shemaim hu, umetakin ma shenitzrach, and you can fulfill that which Hashem sent you to the world for. So hu kekosev shem kadosh, it's like you are writing Hashem's name. You are fulfilling the writing of that spark. You're continuing that spark or developing it. Uchen isak yirushayim gmurim shochem ha-shemam. There's a medrash, not a medrash, this is from, I think, the Arizal. That Rishon forget their name, meaning Hashem's name that's inside of them. Hashem HaKadosh Shehu Chelek Shorosh Chiyuso. That's what's keeping them alive. L'chach Nitzvachim Megadif V'Nekfo Shem. Fine. The end of the Parsha connected to this, right? Mekalel, the curse of Hashem. L'ramiz Ki Amaka Nefesh Adam Hu Kemochik Shem Kadosh Asher Hayach Chelek Chiyus Shel Osa Nefesh. When you hit somebody else or you curse somebody else, you are essentially demeaning Hashem in that person. And therefore, we all have that responsibility to maintain that Hashem. This is from the Sfas Emes, but his grandfather, the Chidush Arim, has a famous concept by the Pasuk of Magen Avraham, where he talks about the Avraham in all of us, that we are all have that spark of Mesiris Nefesh from Avraham. The next part of this pasuk is v'nikdash b'zelch b'nei Yisrael, that you should make a kiddush Hashem. The flip side of the chol Hashem is a kiddush Hashem. So Avram Avinu was the one that made the first kiddush Hashem by Nimrod, and so says the Chidush Harim that when it comes to the bracha, bracha to Hashem, magen Avraham, what we're asking for Hashem is not just that you protected Avram back then, but right now magen Avraham. That you should protect our Avram, that characteristic within all of us, to make a Kiddush Hashem, you should protect that within all of us. So here also the Sfas Emes is saying, Los Chalu Hashem Kachi, we should not desecrate Hashem's name. That internal sense of Hashem that we all have, Mirat Hashem, we should all protect it, we should all develop it in each way that we have, in each way that Hashem has given us the ability to do, connecting it to whether you're a Kohen or not a Kohen. We all have some role to play. And some shame Hashem that we're supposed to develop and fulfill in our own way. Mirat Hashem, we should all find that way to the best of our abilities and fulfill it to the best of our abilities to make sure that we are Nikdash Yisrael Bnei Yisrael. We make a Kiddush Hashem, not a Chilul Hashem. Okay, a lot to think about, a lot to take in and to develop. It's very similar, not necessarily from a Kohen perspective, but from a general perspective. Yeah. You're right, Chalal versus Kedusha. Yeah, Chalal versus Kedusha, for sure. Okay, Shkaya. What a man, Shalal. Okay, have a good day. Good Shabbos.